Welcome to the Women and Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women in Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Good afternoon, Esther. How are you?
I'm doing well today, Eric. Very healthy, strong. Our whole office is sheltering at home well and continuing to do business. How are you?
I'm enjoying technology as well. I mean, this is the whole thing. You and I always connect over a good 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 miles, whatever it is. So yeah. We're used to this, but yep. Being able to work with all my clients virtually right now is a blessing, definitely.
Yeah, I've done a lot of Zoom training for clients who hadn't used it ever before. We're not on Zoom right now, but yep. All the meetings are, and just stepping them through, helping them through that initial anxiety of like, oh my God, I don't see this, I don't see that. And then going, oh, okay, good. They're set. So
yeah, absolutely.
Things are good.
Yeah. The funny thing is I've seen a lot of reports of people being trained to use Zoom and Skype and FaceTime and all these other things because grandparents can't see their grandkids. And so yes. It's nice to see communities coming together to help people learn how to do this, you know, not just for business, but for personal, you know, staying connected personally. And I think that that's a huge portion of what you do with your clients just because you're so relational. But yeah, no, I'm excited to be talking to you today again, as usual.
Thank you.
Now I just don't know what we're talking about. What are we talking about?
I know, I was going to say. Last time we talked about in our last podcast, it was about tips to navigate challenging times, mm-hmm. which of course we are in a challenging time, uncertain, unprecedented. Today, I just want to circle back to where are we with this stock market and investing? What are the signs that we're looking for? What are we doing? What should our listeners be doing?
All right. Where do we start with that? I mean, there's a lot to unpack.
There is a lot to unpack, and I'm going to go through just an overview right now. We know with the stock market, there is continued volatility. We expect this to continue. The market is a forward-looking mechanism, and it's looking and looking and looking and hasn't seen certainty yet, so that creates volatility. I don't know if you knew this, Eric, but the number of trading days where the S&P 500 moved down or up more than 3% in a day happened a total of 7 times in 2017, 18, and 19 combined.
Oh, wow.
That's a total. Combined. By the end of March, combined over 3 years, by the end of March of 2020, this had occurred more than 20 times.
Jiminy Christmas.
So if people are feeling a little nauseous, anxious, going, oh my gosh, this is unprecedented. Well, it definitely is, especially in recent history.
Yeah, this roller coaster has more loops than I figured, right? I mean, this is...
It is. It's very dizzying. We've had the fastest bull to bear market ever. Mm. Before I go on, I have people ask me questions sometimes that they go, I don't really want to ask this in front of everyone, but what is the S&P 500? So just briefly, just to talk about that, mm-hmm. because it feeds into, it's a number that we see or a graph often that we see on a screen, but I really like to talk about the companies that are behind that. So the S&P 500 is 500 companies that are meant to be representative of the U.S. stock market. And these are huge companies. Among other criteria to be in the index is that their market capitalization must be at least $8.2 billion with a B, billion dollars.
What do you mean by market capitalization?
It's how large the company is.
Okay, value-wise?
Yes, market capitalization is basically the value of a company's outstanding shares of stock. So calculated by, you multiply the number of a company's outstanding shares by the market price. Pretty
Got
simple.
It. All right.
So think of names like 3M, Apple, mm-hmm. AT&T, Boeing, Campbell Soup, Clorox, Exxon, Kraft, McDonald's, Merck, Royal Caribbean, Tiffany, Verizon. There's a number. I mean, that's, I only rattled off about 10. There's a number of different industries and sectors. So I always like to do what I call look under the hood here. We see a graphic and we think, oh my God, I know exactly what's going on. but there's a number of different industry sectors here. And how they're affected by this time is not equal. Think Royal Caribbean and Tiffany's versus Clorox and Campbell Soup. Mm-hmm. People are using the latter and they're not engaged too much in the former. And even if you take the lid off of what is Campbell's Soup, we all think of the, that red can.
Oh, yeah.
What flavor do you think of when you think Campbell's Soup or hear Campbell's Soup?
Oh, the first one is chicken noodle soup.
I know, exactly.
Me too. Right? You, when I was a kid, you're sick. Well, there's that red can. It's coming out. Exactly. That's all you get for 3 days. All right. Well, it tastes good, but doggone it, 3 days worth? All right.
Right. And you and I might not have lots of cans of Campbell's Soup on our shelves. Maybe we do. And during times of anxiety like this, what got moved off the shelves quickest besides the toilet paper is canned goods.
Yes. I couldn't believe it. I went to Target, and I'm not plugging Target, but that's where CVS Pharmacy is. I went in there to pick up some meds. I just walked in the aisles just to see what was going on because Omaha, you know, the area that I'm in right now, wasn't really hit hard, but that soup aisle decimated, gone, nothing left. I was like, wow.
Isn't it funny?
Some strong people in here carrying on all these cans.
Well, and Campbell also makes Pace salsa. It makes the Goldfish snacks. It makes V8. Favorite. It makes kettle chips, all of this other stuff.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You know, you just, again, keep peeling back the layers of the company. But so there's a number of different companies here, and there are sectors certainly that are hit very hard. I already talked about the travel and leisure a little bit with Royal Caribbean. I mean, when is the next time somebody's going to jump on a cruise?
Yeah.
They got a lot of the press right on early on. A friend of mine's father was one of those early cruises, and he got the coronavirus, and thankfully he's fine now. But it'll be a while where people hop on planes and travel for either business or personal travel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hotels, all of that. Those are some sectors. Another one is energy. The headlines, this is being recorded on April 22nd. We've seen a lot more headlines in the past couple days about oil prices and the energy sector. Early in March, it was about Russia and Saudi Arabia having a price war, and that pushed the prices down. Now, it's with so much of the economy shut down that the demand has crashed. And the production hadn't slowed in March, so the supply is really high. We've heard it all of our lives. You know, the economy is supply and demand. Well, when the supply is really high and the demand is really low, what happens to the price? It really tanks it, which is what's happened now. No pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. Esther, let me take a step back here just for a moment because you explained what the S&P 500 is, and it is this mix. And we've seen such a volatile market with a lot of down, unfortunately. So are we thinking that, I guess just the simplest terms, the industries that are hit hard, there are more industries hit hard by this than there are industries that are doing well in this situation. Like, in other words, Campbell's is making food, right? And people are stocking up on food. So you would think that that price would go up. Toilet paper manufacturers, they got to be doing pretty well, right? Everybody's buying the stores paper, out of toilet paper, but that's not enough to lift up the things that are dropping significantly, like travel and energy and those things. Is that about right?
Well, yeah, because we're not talking, at least in the initial, in the month of March, let's say, it wasn't based on fundamentals. It wasn't something where someone said, okay, I'm going to keep my Campbell's but sell my Boeing because of air travel. It was like, oh, this is what happens. Our brains, our amygdalas are wired for fight or flight. So it's like, you know what? I'm going to sell everything because this is scary. The market will drop.
Got it.
And I'm just going to go to cash.
Yep, I understand. Esther, you've talked about this on previous podcasts, you know, making emotional decisions and behavioral finance, those types of things. You've covered that in a few different podcasts. And if you haven't heard those yet, please go back and listen to them, those that are listening to this right now, because they're incredibly valuable, especially with what's going on. But you totally just opened my eyes to that people aren't picking and choosing which stocks to sell. They're just like, I got to go to cash. And then they make a really poor decision that way.
It can be going to cash. It can be with the CARES Act. There was a change of rules that people could take out of their 401ks and withdraw. So you don't take stocks out of your 401ks. What do you take? you take cash. Mm-hmm. And it could be that people need that because they've lost their job and they say, I need to turn this to income. So it can be reactivity. It can be needs-based. It can be based on, there's been a huge amount of, there's black box trading that goes on where different points are hit and the computers are programmed to sell when it gets to this point, and boom, there's a ton of trades that just go off. That's one of the reasons we've seen so much volatility, because on the downside, it's also seen, okay, when we hit that, we're going to buy. There's a lot of movement that's gone on. But yeah, the selling can be fear-based. It can be needs-based. It can be covering short positions. There could be a number of reasons. It's typically not, no, I'm going to go through what I have, take a look, and maybe even add to some things that I think are going to do well right now.
Yeah, that would be a smart play, but it's hard to make that decision at that moment.
It's very hard. And so that's a big reason why I do these podcasts and how we work with our clients. By contrast, e-commerce has done well. Amazon has had a huge jump with shelter in place, cloud-based software for business and personal needs, like web conferencing, whether, as you said, for business meetings, we're doing a lot of ours online, obviously, or with family. It's really nice to see people. I had a business meeting earlier this week with a colleague, and we just hadn't seen each other for a while. And she's like, oh my goodness, it's so nice to see you. And just to have that connection and to see that we're here, we're strong, we're, you know, I've got a smile on my face. It's not a happy time per se, but you know what? It's another day. We just keep moving forward. We're closer to the end than we were yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Netflix recently hit its 52-week high. So not everything.
Well, they can thank my family for that, really. I mean, and a lot of people I know. Because that is definitely one thing that is occupying some people's time during this self-quarantine process.
Exactly. For my, I asked my husband, because we he had his Netflix account before we got married and moved in together, and then I had mine, and I'm doing what I'm suggesting to clients. It's like, well, let's just go through expenses. I'm like, huh, not, you know, do we both need a Netflix account? Well, his daughters are on his Netflix account, and you can only apparently have three on at a time, or somebody's been booted off. So I'm like, okay, that's why we have.
Gotcha. Yeah, there you go.
You don't want to be booted off.
No, that's so. Don't want to have to make that decision. Which child is my favorite?
Exactly. So, as I mentioned before, the market hates uncertainty. And so that creates also a lot of the volatility. And the uncertainty is around, we don't know when we're through this. We don't know when we'll be able to bring the economy online fully again. And the fundamentals of all of this are still being sifted through. We have a consumer-based economy for the most part. The consumer spending accounts for consistently about 70% of our economic growth. There's government spending, there's corporate spending, but it's primarily the consumer. So as we have this economic shutdown and we're not going out to restaurants, traveling, buying as much, you know, large things, cars, et cetera, companies are seeing declines in profits and thus declines in revenues. And the market stock prices are based on the earnings of the companies. What's their value? With that, it's anticipated, obviously, that they'll be going down. And then the market is trying to find a place. What's the fundamental right price for, say, Campbell's Soup versus Boeing right now? Recession is basically a foregone conclusion at this point. It's just the numbers haven't come out. And I just want to talk a little bit about recession because it's a word that's talked about. It nobody likes it. But what the heck is it? It's pretty general. We've heard the term 2 quarters of negative gross domestic product. That's out of the UK. It's really a general decline in economic activity that is a contraction of gross domestic production, which, you know, you don't see a lot of output right now because you have to have buyers on the other end of that. You see the challenge that comes up with oil, where there's a lot of production, not a lot of supply. What happens to the price? And when the price craters, the jobs are next. So with recession, there's a jump of unemployment, which we've definitely seen, and a reduction in sales. Again, the market is forward-looking. It is anticipating the down of the recession, and then it will anticipate recovery. Going back to behavioral finance, the brain is very much wired on looking at most recent history to judge forward. It's trying to look for that pattern to keep us safe. Mm-hmm. And so the brain will say, oh gosh, the market's down, recession, we're not going to get out of this for a long time, so I'm going to go to cash or keep it safe. The challenge is, it doesn't know when we're when the market is going to start seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. It's often before our brains recognize it.
Yep.
In general, since 1990, it's taken about 50 months. That's a little over 4 years to recover jobs lost in a recession. Wow. This one is anticipated to take about half of that.
Really? I would think more.
Why would you think more?
Because I think there's more job loss during this one, isn't there?
Well, it's really steep job loss. You're right. I can see that. So it would take longer to recover because there's been such steep job loss.
But I guess it's due to specific things that are going to be shutting down and then reopening quicker than what would be expected in a previous recession. Okay.
Go ahead. Steal my thunder, Eric.
I'm sorry. Yep, I'm on the same page as you now, Esther.
You want to do this podcast yourself?
It takes me a while, but I get there. See, but look what
right.
I've learned from you. See, this is just by spending time with Esther. For all you listeners, I can be educated. So can you. She is amazing. So, yes, I stole your thunder.
Okay, bye.
All done.
But this one, yeah, we're waiting on a specific thing. We're waiting on a vaccine, really, and testing, which testing is tricky because even if everyone had the test, would it test the same in a month? I mean, it's a tricky thing. There's, but waiting on further clarification that people are healthy, can congregate. With that, it's not like 2008-09, which was a huge collapse of the financial underpinnings.
Yes.
You know, we don't have here a Bear Stearns going out of business or a Lehman declaring bankruptcy. We don't have as a kickoff to this. It's a health-related issue. And there are answers to that. It's just the timing is that it won't all come back at once. Mm-hmm. It'll come back gradually. I've already talked about e-commerce will continue most likely to be strong. Home entertainment, we're still buying groceries before we start going out to restaurants en masse, getting back out to Target, for example, in retail stores. Buying cars, although I will say for those who have been thinking of replacing their vehicle, this isn't a bad time to get prepared for that for when we can go out because there will be cars to move, and there, in this case, as opposed to oil, there's a lot more supply than there is demand. Well, that's the same as with oil. So in the same way, with that supply and there's low demand, they're a lot more willing to negotiate.
Yes.
Luxury goods, travel hotels will probably be the last. So that will be the employment area that will be hardest to bring up and resolve those unemployment numbers. Mm-hmm. For business, communication services, that's the same for us. Imagine if we were going through this without Wi-Fi.
Oh my goodness.
It's the same for the consumer. Yeah, it would be really, really hard on businesses. Many people are saying, oh, I didn't know we could do this like this. I mean, there are a number of clients who are like, ugh, I can't wait to get into the office again and be able to see you. I can't stand this. For me, actually, it hasn't been too bad because I don't miss the commute. We're all learning there is a thing now called Zoom fatigue, where people are just tired of one Zoom meeting after another, after another, after another. And I've certainly experienced that and had to space mine out to handle my calendar a little differently. But yeah. And then business travel will be the last. I have a colleague who basically makes a lot of his revenue is derived from speaking at conferences. Mm-hmm. So this is hitting him especially hard.
Yeah.
But a good thing is our government has stepped in with a lot of support from our Federal Reserve Bank.
Yep.
With that, I mean, that's with support with low interest rates, the CARES package, more support coming in that was just voted in yesterday for more small business help with the programs, the PPP, the EIDL, et cetera. And with that, our deficit will grow. And it will grow until our tax revenue increases. Mm-hmm. If people don't have jobs, they're not paying in income tax and FICA taxes for Social Security and Medicare.
Yep.
So our deficit will grow. And with that, some of the news as, you know, let's get scared now about future inflation. Let's worry about that. And that will cause people to consider things like gold, perhaps, and those types of inflation protecting assets. But right now, the bigger concern is deflation. Again, going back to energy prices, we want to get those prices up, actually, as much as we may say, wow, I haven't seen prices at the pump like that for so long. That's lovely. Well, realize that there's jobs and infrastructure behind that where they're deeply affected. Mm-hmm. So we want to get prices more stabilized before we can see deficits stop growing and before we have concerns about inflation.
Yeah.
So what does this mean for portfolios? Coming back down from this more 30,000 mile view, looking at companies, looking what's going on, talking about how the market reacts, what does it mean for portfolios? We do anticipate continued volatility. We do say you will still need, even though we've had a nice recovery into the second quarter, and that's because there's been more signs of this curve flattening and more of a sense of resolving because the sheltering in place is working against the virus is what it's being reported. But we anticipate that the market is likely to take another step down again because when second quarter numbers are reported in by companies, if you think of the first quarter, things were basically relatively normal until we went into shelter in place. And most of us went in sometime in the month of March, the third month of the quarter. Mm-hmm. And before that, we had a lot of retail sales. You know, there was a lot of stocking up and purchasing and all we've talked about, things being cleared off the shelves.
Yeah.
So second quarter, depending on how we all get phased out again, numbers are anticipated to be pretty ugly because there's a longer time where this would have been in place. Mm-hmm. So is the answer then go, okay, good, I'm either going to stay in cash because I moved to cash or go to cash now and wait. Do we do that? No. Why? Because the increases and the pops up, they happen too quickly. Research has shown that missing just a few days of uptick in the market can make a huge long difference in one's plan. Mm-hmm. And as you know, we have here one's plan. It can adjust. It's a malleable plan, but because life changes over time, I mean, we anticipate that people live to 100, so we don't anticipate the same set of circumstances, you know, that in our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. So it's malleable, but in terms of returns, it takes into account the volatility of the market, but it does not take into account the assumption that we're out of the market, we missed the first 10 days even, and what does that do? No, it's an assumption that this allocated portfolio will be engaged throughout. And our managers have their ear to the ground. On the news, it can look like, okay, there's this random S&P 500 going crazy, but the managers are looking. They go deeper. They look at which companies have good fundamentals now. Which are the businesses doing well right now? I've mentioned a few. And which, if they're having challenges right now, but do they have plenty of cash to weather the storm until there's a rebound? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And maybe liquidating ones that earlier this year, and some have done that already, liquidated the ones that they say, you know what, I think this will take too long. I'd rather either just hold this cash or allocate it to something else. So action is going on behind the scenes. This is why we like to say market volatility, it's not our clients' volatility.
Exactly. Esther, this is exactly what you've talked about before. And I think it all boils down to this, is that market volatility isn't your client's volatility. And you were talking about plans earlier. This is the communication that you thrive in, right? This is mm-hmm. where you really, really shine with your clients. Because I know when this all first started, you and I got together and we were doing a podcast, and you had heard from most of your clients already by either reaching out to them or they had reached out to you. Mm-hmm. And you've had these conversations to help them realize, you know, there is this storm, but it doesn't mean we're going to, you know, just run for the hills. It's we have a plan in place. This is what we've been preparing for. Nobody saw this specifically coming as a black swan event. However, this is why we've had all these conversations over these years that you've worked with me, and we've been planning and planning and planning. It's not just let's buy this. This looks good. you have a goal in mind, right, and an end date in mind, and we continue to watch that always. So I think that that's great. And again, I know that you've talked about the planning process on previous podcasts, and I don't want to keep shoving people to them, but there's so much information on how you, Esther, work with your clients and what the value is that you bring to them besides the relationship, which is, I mean, I think that's the pinnacle of it, that helps your clients to remain calm in situations like this.
Yeah, we're not about only portfolio. Portfolio is critical. It is a big part of the engine that drives the vehicle, especially as one moves into retirement, mm-hmm, of replacing income. But as one is pre-retirement and building to that, or pre-retirement within the most recent years, we build that in. We make the assumptions. We test it, the plan, to say, what if this happened? And what are our backups? So we typically already hold the cash that's needed. We don't need to generate more cash. I have a colleague and another individual I know who are in the field of real estate. And they said deals, people said, oh my gosh, I can't make this deal because my stock went down. And I just have to scratch my head and say, what were you doing in the stock market when you were looking at houses? Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. should have been set aside months ago so yeah. that you don't have to be vulnerable like this. And that's why that volatility isn't our client's volatility. As we have sat down so far into the month of April and reviewed our portfolios with our clients as part of what's going on with them, what's going on in their lives, how are they doing? How are they feeling about what's happening? What changes are they seeing? And just allowing that space, the clients to a one have said, oh gosh, I'm so glad I'm not down like what I thought I was, mm-hmm. because the source of information is primarily the media, which is not their portfolio.
Yep, exactly. And again, we've talked about it before. The media is there for one purpose, and that's to sell commercials. So, I mean, they're trying to get people to watch their show. So they're going to put headlines that are going to be attention grabbing and a little scary sometimes to make sure that you tune in so they can, that they can have their advertiser money. So I said, it's a much better idea to contact your professional and have a conversation.
Yeah, because we are not out of the woods yet. We do think as the numbers come in from companies reporting, I mean, they're reporting now for first quarter, so there may be some challenges there, but actually as they report for second quarter, and that won't happen for another 3 months, we do think we'll see a potential lowering down on the S&P 500 again. But moving to cash has been shown over and over to undercut performance and reduce the opportunity for longer-term goal achievement. And our brains, they want to do something to make us feel safe. So here are some three final thoughts. And I would suggest also going back to my most recent podcast before this one and others as well, but even the most recent one before this one and the one before that. But because I'm not spending the time here on what mm-hmm. the brain can do to feel safe, but three things. Turn off the news.
Yep.
Because as you said, it is really there to pull you in, because how do they make their money? Mm-hmm. By advertising. Again, they're part of the economy as well. And whether or not you'll watch something or you'll click on something so that then you go, this person's interested in this, we'll send them more of this kind of information. Mm-hmm. So turn off the news, social media, limit it. Review your cash reserves. Really look and sit down. If you're a woman in transition on your own, or if you're in a marriage or a partnership, sit down with your partner or married partner and say, okay, this is where we are. Let's just look at this. And let's look at expenses and say, is there anything we want to change? And that can be tough, both on one's own or as a couple. So the third tip is to reach out for perspective. Get another perspective on board.
And that perspective should come from?
Well, I recommend the perspective of an independent third party, not necessarily your brother-in-law or someone who is someone that you are comfortable with, but you're not necessarily comfortable telling them everything that's going on in mm-hmm. your personal and financial life. So an independent third party who's not impacted or affected, not only that, but who's a technical and long-term experience dealing with these types of things. That's the type of individual. If you have a financial advisor, reach out to them. If you don't, you are welcome to reach out to us. Our website is gatespassadvisors.com. And there's a contact me button there and a lot of other information as well. The podcast, we have upcoming webcasts, market news, everything you'd want is right there.
Absolutely. Esther, thank you so much. Again, I was very serious when I said that earlier. I've learned so much spending time with you doing these podcasts, and you have definitely raised my bar as far as what I'm looking for when I want good information. I don't like to go too many places anymore. I'll just call you.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
And speaking of that, the phones still work. Thank goodness. And speaking of that, our next podcast is going to be Esther giving her top 10 Netflix picks for this. No, I'm kidding. It's not going to be, but I believe we're going to have a guest on the next one. Is that correct?
We will have a guest. This is a guest talking about a little bit different topic for these days, but long-term care insurance. But it's a woman who actually is an insurance agent and her experience with her own husband and navigating through this when he's on claim and how it's affected her life as a woman in transition as well. So there's a lot of different flavors to this. I really encourage you to listen.
Absolutely. All right, Esther, thank you so much for your time today.
It's been a pleasure, Eric, as always.
And I want to thank all of you for listening and tuning in to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thanks so much for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.